This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
Hello Kitty is a girl, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Oh, yeah, my name's Tom.
Tom, great. Is it T-H-O-M or T-O-M?
T-O-M.
T-O-M, cool. And X-Y-C-E, is that how you want me to say it
yeah.
For the interview? Okay.
It's pronounced as X-Ice.
X-S-Ice?
Yeah, just X-Ice.
All right, sorry. Okay.
Like ice with...
Shows you what I don't know. Sice, okay. Okay, all right. So I'll just get started. All right, Tom, that's excellent. And who's your colleague?
It's he's called Ruel.
Ruel.
Dutch name, yeah, Ruel.
R-O-E-L. Ah, yes, right, okay. Ruel, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a bit like I rule.
Yeah, all right. We'll see how we go. Okay, this is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. And Square Sounds is coming to Melbourne. It's pretty exciting. Square Sounds is a four-day micro festival. It's held around parts of Melbourne, but a lot of it is live, and in particular the Evelyn Hotel. Basically what it's about, it's described as underground chip music and the scene, and coloured by the vibrant sights and sounds of an 8-bit palette mixed with cutting-edge bass music. Square Sounds brings some of the best-known and loved chiptune artists from all over the world to Melbourne, and many acts will play their first time in Australia. So Square Sound stage is really great to bring all those people together with a very happy crowd of fans and people who love those sounds. So yeah, it's a great inclusive event, and we have on the line all the way from the Netherlands, Tom from Sice, spelled X-Y-C-E.
Yeah.
And I want to welcome you to the show. Welcome there. Whatever you're doing now,
yeah,
is better. Yeah. I don't know how you're holding the phone or where you're standing. I have no idea, but it sounds better.
Okay.
All right. So tell us who you are and what is Sice. What's Sice about and how would you describe it?
Well, it's kind of an old school chiptune project. We've been doing a lot of chiptunes on old computers like the Amiga and the Atari, and recently also the Game Boy and the Commodore 64. And we've been doing it together for 6 years or so. And Ruel has been doing it for quite a while, actually, since 1999 or something. And I've been doing it since 2005, 2004. Somewhere around there. And I met him online and we decided to make music together.
Cool.
So we've been doing it ever since. Yeah, we've been flying around the world lately to perform with the music, so that's very cool.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. You think there is a real strong following for the style of music? You do?
Yeah, I guess you can call it a small scene, but it's very close. So yeah, people tend to follow each other online and see what everybody's up to and that kind of stuff. So you see a lot of familiar names popping up here and there, so that's really cool.
That is cool, yeah. I've noticed a few already, and certainly going for a long time, Ruel has been, since 1999. Was he using bit music, 8-bit and chiptune or bit pop back then?
Yeah, he was mostly just on the computer and the Atari. He was participating in the demo scene events, the kind of, computer art kind of gathering where people code creativity, and make demos and stuff. And yeah, people need music for their work, so Ruel was doing a lot of that kind of stuff. I think a lot of chiptune guys are actually from the demo scene, and people aren't, so there's actually a divided scene there, but there's a lot of overlap, so people come together and know of both scenes.
Okay. And in the Netherlands itself, are there as many as well, there seem to be a lot in Melbourne too, but is there a lot of people making?
For the Netherlands, for such a small country, there's actually a pretty cool scene here. You've got Men of Mega, Mona Deer, Rocco, of course the Eindbaas DJs who are doing a lot of events and organizing. And yeah, some smaller names as well. I think it's a small group, but still a very, very close scene for such a small country.
Oh, it's amazing that you do have that. Very interesting for a tiny place. It was funny when I got your email, you said, I'm only 5 minutes away or something. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what is the preference for if you were to describe to a person and say what would be the equipment that you'd need to start up if you were going to make 8-bit or chip music?
Well, it depends on the hardware you want to use. It's very easy to get an old Game Boy from eBay or something. They're they were made a lot, so they're very easy to come by. And you can buy a cartridge called LSDJ, which is, I don't know, 40, 50 bucks. And you can, if you buy those two things, you can start making music for very cheap. Mm. And all the programs we use on the computer are actually free as well, so they kind of work the same, how you structure songs and how you make songs. So if you learn one of those programs, it's very easy to use other hardware as well.
Cool, excellent.
So I guess I think it's the cheapest to actually get a Game Boy if you want to make music on the actual hardware. But if you just want to get into making music and learn how the programs work, it's very easy to download a software on the computer called OpenMPT or Milky Tracker, and they're free, so it's you can download other songs from people and check out how they make music, and that's a good way to learn.
Now, do you travel a lot around Europe or in the States?
We haven't actually been in the States, which is a pity because we really want to go there, but yeah, that hasn't happened yet. We've been to Germany, we've been to the UK, we've been to France, Belgium, about it for Europe, and 2 years ago we went to Tokyo, Japan, for the Square Sounds edition in Tokyo,
which was awesome. So Bitpop, I mean, is that a fairly new term? I've only come across that lately. Is that how you describe your cooperation, you and Roel or Sarah?
Well, Bitpop is more of a, I think it's people use it here and there, not for a particular reason, but I think Bitpop is more of the chiptune, like the poppy, cute, happy style. I think you can compare Bitpop to the actual pop music that's been playing on the radio, and then the chiptune equivalent.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people have been using it. I don't know, there isn't actually a label of... or style of music that you can put that label on.
And you've got 4 albums out, is that right? But it seems like you've got a lot of productions out, you know, pieces that you do have, whether it's SoundCloud or Bandcamp, pretty prolific.
Bandcamp, mostly just to put albums on, and Spotify as well, to just give people another a piece of software to have our music on.
Mm.
And Bandcamp actually works very well to put your albums on, and people can listen to it on Bandcamp itself or download, so it's whatever people want to. And if they want to give money to you, it's also possible
useful.
By Bandcamp.
So, yeah. So getting to that, can you sustain yourself on the work that you do with the music? Or can you sustain or make a living out of what you do?
No, we can't, unfortunately. Everything we make basically goes towards traveling, because a lot of shows still aren't able to fully pay our expenses.
Mm.
So we mostly use the money we make on music to actually go to gigs or pay plane tickets and that kind of stuff. So the music, the money we make with the music actually goes towards the music as well. So that's a cool circle, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess you all have day jobs and there's other things that you do to try and survive.
Yeah, we're both web developers, actually.
Yep, that makes sense. Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And the crossover there as web developers, does that influence the music you make?
With the work we do?
Yes, like just the everyday work. Does that give you, do you think, an edge to how you create music?
Well, I guess it's kind of technical to learn the program. So if you got that background or actually into it a bit, it's more easy to learn the software. So I guess it kind of contributes, but I wouldn't say it really has any effects on our music.
Now, you talk about the travel and, of course, playing throughout the world and just the fun. After 7 years, that's pretty good for a working relationship.
Yeah, it's actually, if we are able to pay our expenses via the money we make through Bandcamp and all and selling albums, that actually contributes a lot because traveling is, of course, pretty expensive, especially if you go around the world. So that helps helps a lot getting us places.
Yeah, it would do, yeah. I remember speaking to one of the San Francisco artists a couple of years ago, and he really does rely upon, I guess, people putting him up when he travels and the network of fans and friends and other artists. So, you know, it's not a... is it a glamorous lifestyle? It doesn't sound it, to be honest. But
no, it isn't really. Most gigs we play, we just hang out with the people that organize and sleep on couches and stuff. So I guess it isn't really that glamorous, but it saves a lot of money if you just crash people's houses and
crash,
that kind
of
stuff. So it makes it more easy to go to places without a lot of money.
Now, do you find the scene is getting really big, though, and this is going to help get you to a king-size bed, or you don't have to crash places, do you think, in the future?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't actually mind crashing on couches and stuff. I think it's kind of cool because you really get to learn people.
Well, you get to know the people,
instead instead of just going to a gig, playing, and then just lying in a hotel somewhere. So I guess it's kind of the scene that a lot of people are close and just crash at each other's houses if the houses have room and that kind of stuff. So I don't actually mind. I think it's kind of cool.
No, I think that's the difference, and you get that sense of it too when I've got to meet some of the chip artists and bit artists, and that difference is more approachable, you know. That's kind of refreshing and maybe a little awkward sometimes too, but it's good to know you can get in touch with people much, much quicker and easily. When you come to Melbourne, what sort of, when you do your performance, how much of it is rehearsed when you do live stuff?
Most of our songs we made on the laptop, we actually choose them beforehand.
Yeah.
And the songs we do on the Atari and Game Boy is just see how the crowd reacting and choose songs based on that. Because it's more easy to pick a song on the Atari or Game Boy than it is on the laptop. Because of the software we use. So we mostly just pick our computer songs beforehand, and the other songs we just see how the crowd's reacting and songs based on that. Yeah.
And so how many sounds would you have in, say, something that goes for 10, 20 minutes, as long as that?
How many sounds?
Yeah, how many sounds on average would you have to collect?
I think most of our songs are about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere
up a little and somewhere down a little. So I guess it's, 15, 16 songs or so something for half an hour.
Okay, cool. Well, that's interesting, yeah. And how hard is it to get, like, I'm just thinking copyright and all that sort of stuff. You were saying before that it's stuff you can download for free. So is it easy to do that still with sounds?
You mean music or that?
Yes,
software?
Any music that, no, not software, sorry, but any music that you use that's not your own.
Well, all our songs are made by ourselves, so there isn't really any copyright stuff going around there, but I guess it's how do you call it, normal in the scene that you check out other people's songs and use samples they made or samples they used and just edit them to fit your needs and just give them credits in your song or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like we use samples by blah blah, so yeah.
And that
I guess it's kind of fine like that.
Yeah, and that works out okay.
Yeah, definitely. Our songs are project files are downloadable as well, and if people want to use the samples we made or used, they're totally they can totally do that. I don't mind.
Cool. Well, that's good. That's great. So you're going to come to Melbourne. Is this the first time you've been in Australia?
Yeah, I've never been to Australia before. So
okay.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. And after Melbourne, are you going to any other venues or any other festivals or?
We've been thinking of going to Sydney for a weekend, just to check out the city. We aren't sure yet if that's possible, so we have to see for the next week or so. We'll probably just be checking out Melbourne and the surroundings there.
Yeah, well, there'll be lots of people. I see there's heaps coming from places like the UK, and we've also, you know, some Japanese artists and quite a few Australians. So that's a good one. And what do you know of the scene here? And do you have any favourites or people that you would like to collaborate with or anything like that?
Well, we are going to sleep at Chris's house, Cedric's. We'll probably be hanging around with him. His music is awesome as well, so he's a very nice guy. So we'll probably just be going from his house to places, I don't know. We've really been checking out what kind of stuff we want to see, so we'll have to do our tour preparations a bit.
Yeah. Oh, you're...
We have to travel for 32 hours, so...
32 hours, yeah.
We can check out some stuff on the plane.
Cool. All right. Just as far as a message to people, why should they like Bitpop, and do you think, and chiptune, and where do you think it's going to go in the future? Where would you like to see happen?
Well, you've been seeing a lot of chip kind of influence in pop songs lately.
Yes.
Just the modern pop songs have been using a lot of elements that's normal in chiptune as well. Like the little bleeps and blops, and that happens a lot more. So I guess if people here and there pick up chip tunes as well, and it'll become more, how do you call it, successful or something, we'll be going big and flying around the world for a living.
Yeah.
I guess it's not going there in the future anywhere soon. So
yeah. Well, it's quite nice.
You really have to like that.
Yeah, it's nice that it's fake chip tuners or anything like that. I guess that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope not. Excellent. What would be a track that you recommend people would listen to, your music, Size?
Favorite is probably Nos Petite Femme. With Malin. it's a co-op with another guy from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So those two are probably my favorite. And I still like Nova we did with Redix as well. Different song than we usually do, so shows the different kind of chip tunes we make, so that's cool as well.
Cool. That sounds good. Yeah, I've been listening to some all afternoon, so in between doing my other stuff and work and stuff, so it is nice. And guy next to me was editing his music, which is very different again, and I said, listen to this, and he really liked it. He goes, wow, okay, this is waking me up. This is good.
I think if people hear it for the first time, it's kind of, okay, well, nice.
Yeah. And then they get...
very quickly see if people like it or not.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that I find it does, after the first 30 seconds or so, you get the sense that it could be quite addictive in a good way.
Yeah.
Do you listen to anything else?
Yeah, I really well, I've got a fairy flavor of music, actually. I listen to a lot of old music, like Neil Young and the band and that kind of stuff, and more of the metal kind of stuff as well, Children of Bodom, Mastodon. Yeah, I kind of like everything except the hardstyle and that kind of music. So.
Oh, which one?
The Belgium hardcore
music.
Okay. I'm really into that kind of stuff.
All right, no worries. Hey, but you're Dutch. I presume you're Dutch? Both of you?
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of based here, the hardcore roots, but yeah, I don't really like it.
Cool. All right.
Not for me.
Yeah, no, my dad lives over there. My dad's Dutch, and Dronten. I don't know if you know Dronten. It's a small place, I mean. Yeah, no, it's very small.
Dronten?
Dronten,
D-R-O-N-T-E-N. Yeah.
Oh.
I've never been there, but I know the name.
Yeah, cool. I probably didn't say it right. Anyway, excellent. All right. Well, it's really cool speaking to you. I'm so glad that we finally got around to it with our emails and everything. And I'll make sure I pronounce everything properly. Sice and, of course, Roel, you, Tom, you prefer to be Xylo, and himself, of course, Sarah. Sarah.
Yeah. We don't really use our own
okay.
name that much anymore.
No, fair enough. I'll remember that. Cool. And does it mean anything, Sice? What does it actually... Not that it has to mean anything.
I'm sorry?
What does Sice mean, the name of yourselves? Why?
Well, it's actually the first two letters of my nickname.
Oh, right.
The first two letters of...
I didn't even... So, oh, I feel stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't really have a meaning.
No, yeah, cool. That's good. All right. Yeah, I get it now. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for speaking to us here on Sci-Fi and Screen. Of course, for Sice and, or Xylo for Sice over in the Netherlands. It's wonderful. And can't wait to hear you perform here. And I know that there'll be heaps of people that'll be coming along to enjoy the bit pop chip tunes that you do, which is excellent. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Tell me, do you have to carry a lot of equipment? Is that hard to bring into the country, or
well,
easy?
Normally we bring our Atari, and it fits into a luggage bag pretty easily.
Cool.
Because we use, you can hook it up to a TV normally, but we use one of those little TV screens that people have in their cars.
Oh, yeah.
DVD screen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a lot of luggage, but we'll actually be using Citrix's stuff, so we don't have to carry any heavy stuff this time.
Well, that's a saving. Cool.
Because the machines we use, so we can just borrow them.
Well, thank you very much for speaking to us. here on tonight on Sci-Fi yeah. Squeam. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Joy 94.9 is a
GLBTIQ
station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.